Welcome to the Scratched Entertainment Hour.
Scratched.
This episode of Scratched is
brought to you by Wartooth Design.
Do you pee your pants?
Do you look like a tater?
Do you want to be drawn like a tater that pees your pants?
We like taters.
Wartooth Design. Or potatoes.
Contact Wartooth.
Please visit the masterful art of Wartooth Designs. Just type in frickin' Wartooth Designs on the Instagram.
I had no issue with that audio at all, but like in the least. Because to me, the important thing is not the audio, even though we're an audio podcast.
Yeah. I mean, you have a home studio, man. You wouldn't put a webcam microphone on a drum kit, would you? You probably would. Never mind. I retract my question.
If it's for an experimental thing, because...
No, retracted.
So...
He's just putting his foot down tonight. Like, there's not going to be any...
I don't know, man. Lately, like, Bales comes in here late, unshaven and upset. Yeah.
All right. First of all, I was practicing some drums. So I rolled in a little, like, a couple minutes late, and my beard is, like, a tenth of the length of yours, and this really is only to hide the double chin that I'm trying to get rid of.
So. I love how you immediately accepted my conclusions right from the get. You usually fight more.
No, I'm too tired.
There's usually more gusto. You just gave in, said, screw it. We're going to accept. So... Well, yeah, no, good. I'm glad that you're growing out the beard. That's more towards the woodworking.
I'm not growing it out. This is like usual length right here. It's a number two on the beard trimmer.
All scuffed up. You got ingrown hairs climbing up your friggin' face. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Eloy and Doc, you guys got quite the stash. I got a pretty thick stash going on. You guys have problems with hairs like poking up into your nose?
Shit.
Oh, dude, it drives me insane.
I pull them.
Yeah, I can't have the big mustache like you guys, because if any of this hair touches my lips,
yeah,
it annoys me.
That's how I usually trim it right here. But and then I'll be like, we'll be out and about doing something. I'll have a long one, like go down under my lip into my mouth. And the only thing I can do is just bite it and just rip it out. And then it brings a tear to my eye.
With your tooth, do you like grab onto it and just keep pulling, and then it removes from the follicle?
Just like a ping, just pops right out.
Have you ever tried to grab the ones from your chin that are long, and you just go like that, and you grab, like you can pull it over, grab it with your tooth, and you just hold it, and you just try pulling on it to see if it'll snap from the follicle?
I haven't been able to get my beard hair into my mouth since I was like 19.
Damn. See? I grabbed one strand, grabbed the tooth, and then kind of yank it. And why? If I try hard enough, it'll pop right out of the follicle.
But why?
Why not?
Yeah.
I try to take care of the hairs that actually care to grow out of my head. I don't like to be effing with them.
I also don't know why you have the big bushy beard when you live in Florida. It's got to be miserable.
I thought it was a chick deterrent.
The reason that I grew the beard was...
Hide your three chins?
No, it was a chick deterrent.
Hmm.
I'm such a chick magnet that I had to grow
right.
Beard. Yeah,
it was incredible.
He had to beat him off to the Apparently. Point that he had to go Jim Morrison.
He's beating him off now, right?
Well, what happened was?
Ooh.
Well, what happened was that, and you know, I kind of don't. Let's keep this between us. I had a
us and the rest of the listening audience.
Well, there's like five of us out there as well. So that'll reach to like eight, right? Five.
Hi, everybody. Nine,
but no more than nine people. No, I just had a really bad relationship situation going on. And that one person was obsessive, kept coming like back and in crazy ways. And I said, if I alter my look, it'll create distance as well. And so kind of like when Jim Morrison got a paunch belly and grew a beard, during the last, basically, the Soft Parade and L.A. Woman.
I call that the Lizard King era.
Well, this was past the Lizard King. This was the rail. They used to call it the railroad conductor bluesman era, and he grew out the paunch belly and the beard to sort of blend in, or you know, disconnect. And it's funny because they say that people would see him in the street and stuff, and they'd say, "Oh, it's Jim," and no matter what he had. So yeah, I did that for that reason because it was traumatizing. I don't want to get into the details, but long story short, it worked, right? Because beards aren't cool here. The look here in Miami, and by the way, I got comfortable with it. The look here in Miami is clean, Euro, Nair. Well, you know what? Bales would be freaking perfect here. Bales, you would be a freaking chick magnet, like you do not believe. You're screwed up right now with the beard, but generally you're all clean cut and this and that. Dude, you would be racking them and stacking them left and right, shaking the palm trees.
Racking and stacking.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
You in the 80 grit.
Hell yeah.
Maybe even 40.
Sweetwater for a week. Do some couch surfing at Eloy's place.
Dude, it will be, you know. I'm telling you, dude, you'd have the Latinas going wild.
I like Latins.
Hey, do you guys, I wanted to ask you this in the chat, but I saved it. Know who Night Ranger is?
You mean the band?
The band? Yes. Like yes. Motorin? Sister Christian?
Say, do I know their music? Should I know their music?
Yeah. You do.
The name of the band just doesn't register.
This song you would know is Sister Christian. And Eloy, no, he's not there. Let the listeners know that Eloy just bailed right now without telling anybody or giving us any warning. But I don't want to sing it.
Now I want you to.
No,
I don't want to sing it either. I don't have the pipes for that.
Yeah, no, that's a tough. It's the Motorin song. Starts off real. Motorin.
Gotcha. So my reason
it goes up from there.
What's your price for flight?
Oh, that's really good, Doc.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. I'm going to stop right there.
Well, my reason for asking was we have this great big biker party around here every year. It's last weekend in July. It's called Wetzelland. And it's because it's the like county that it's in.
Is it at the Blue Oyster?
No. Well, they always have like national, they say national acts. Like Ted Nugent played there a couple years ago, and it's usually like Southern rock bands or stuff like that. But
I like Ted Nugent's what do you call it? Leopard clothing wear from the 70s. It's so horrible.
When you're Dingle fronting the band, you're going to wear the loincloth just like that and shoot the bow and arrow. Pretty much same deal, except, you know, you get to wear your Gladesman hat.
The Gladesman hat is actually cool, but the polka dot bikini freaking Neanderthal look is...
You can wear over the top of your clothes. I didn't say that's all you had to wear, but like that's got to be over the top. It's got to look like you skinned a saber-toothed tiger.
I've always hated...
Flintstone style.
I thought you were going more Paul Hogan for him.
Yeah, that look, I just, like, leopard skin dots on. It's just, to me, it's like the worst scenario. It's as bad, it's almost as bad as, like, no, that's pretty much, it's that's the worst, dude.
I just wear animals that are local to you. That's what I always thought when I saw that. I was like, he's not anywhere near a zebra.
He's so horrible, dude.
He's from Detroit. There's no zebras in Detroit. But did he go to the zoo and kill that and skin it? And now he's wearing it?
How did he think?
Should he be wearing like a deer or like a cow?
How did he think that would be cool? That actual particular theme.
I was not alive at the time. I was chemicals or lack thereof.
You know, it reminds me, you know, like back in the 90s, like the classic Hollywood celebrity movie, you know, that they would wear those freaking weird furs and they'd look like cheesy as you could get. And it's like he tried to bring that back, but in rock and roll, horrible.
Remember Damn Yankees? Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when he kicked the door open and bullets bounced off of him by the sheer power of his rockingness?
No.
I don't remember that either.
Oh, damn Yankees. They were hauled up in the house because they were dangerous. They were all like 60 years old at the time.
Hey, hey, if you remember the 80s, you weren't there. You know how they say that about the 60s? Like, yeah, all the 60s people, they say, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
I can't even remember what the song is. What was the damn Yankees song?
Eloy?
Something about flying.
Anyway, they're hauled up in the house, and the cops break in, and at one point, the Nuge kicks the door down, and the cops are shooting at him, and the bullets are just bouncing off of him because he's playing the solo.
Yeah, he's good. The cheesy force is strong with that one, but he kicks butt on guitar, that's for sure.
So who was it that sang? Who sang Stranglehold?
That would be, oh, who sings?
Who, yeah, sang, who sings song? That?
Ted didn't sing it.
No, I don't know. Ask the Google man.
Then again,
you just know offhand.
I can't remember.
It was the song wasn't high enough that they were in this house, was it? That was their power ballad.
Wait, what?
I can't think of
damn Yankees high enough.
Oh yeah, no, that was a
power, power didn't ballad. They do Fly to the Angels?
No, that's Slaughter.
Okay, whoa,
jeez.
Oh, so Stranglehold is Derek St. Holmes.
Yeah, it is.
Whoever that is.
I was gonna say that there's other bands, like say Aerosmith and all these people that wear outrageous clothing, and let's not even get into freaking Mickey Jagger. It's just repulsive. However, for some reason, the tiger stripe or zebra or freaking whatever Puma sort of look is freaking, I don't know. Do you guys feel, do you agree with that?
What are your thoughts on all the old bands that are still playing? What do you think of that?
Oh, you did. See, now you do what I do to you. Time is now crunching the same way it does for me. You'll be soon. You'll be talking like, yeah, the other day I saw, for the first time I saw like Back to the Future. You know, it's going to be like that. You'll see. That's what old people remember. I remember like 39.
So do you like, I mean, do you like the old bands still playing?
Oh, I'm good with that, dude.
Like even the ones that still dress the same way that they did 20, 30 years ago.
Here's my one thing about the older bands is that a lot of them aren't even comprised of the original members.
Right.
It's like one or two original members.
That's all you need.
Like Rat's out with what? One or two? Foreigner has one, but not even all the time.
Yeah, but they got the singer.
He's not the original singer.
He's not the original singer?
I don't think so.
Are you sure? Because that guy's voice is like Rat-like.
Oh, Rat. Rat. Yeah, Rat has the original singer.
We're talking Foreigner.
Oh
yeah, you know Rat has the original singer and the bass player, but everyone else has left.
I want to say when I was a real, real young buck, I was at a Foreigner concert during the Agent Provocateur tour at like some country fair.
Nice.
For sure.
That's all they do around here at our fairs now is bring back like washed up 80s hair metal. Like I think it was last year it was like Bret Michaels.
Maybe the money man will come. If he comes, you should go. It's a hell of a good time.
So if you're going to see a band from your childhood and it's not all the original members, do you care or does it matter to you as long as the lead singer is still intact?
Yeah, if there's like I saw Robert Plant and he didn't have Led Zeppelin with him and I saw him twice actually.
And they were playing Zeppelin tunes though, right?
They were playing a mixture of he does what most people do and they play a mixture of the, you know, oldie goodies and some of his original stuff, but it was great. I mean, the guy played guitar. I didn't know he could play guitar. He played guitar. This was like maybe 25 years ago.
So if you went and saw a band like that without the lead singer, the original lead singer, would that...
That would suck because everybody's replaceable except the guitarist, lead singer. Drummers, you can change them for a drummer. In the flick of a switch, you could put a drum machine down to keep that beat.
Stomp it on freaking drummers.
And like, you can speed it up by pressing the little, the tempo. Next song. So, Bales, just letting you know.
I mean, if Ryan went to see Papa Roach now, it wouldn't be the same as back in the day because they replaced a drummer a long time ago.
Yeah,
but if it wasn't Kobe Dick up there spitting the rhymes,
oh Kobe Dicks. No, like I guess the reason I asked that is because Have you heard Stone Temple Pilots since they have their new singer? He sounds just like Scott Weiland.
Same with Alice in Chains. The guy sounds pretty much just like him.
Yeah. I mean, I think I could go watch STP just because of the fact that they sound the same.
I just want to say this, though. What I said was sort of in jest and sort of true. But if you take a drummer and you swap him out in a band, the sound does change incredibly because that drummer, although it's the drums, it's that one particular instrument, it does glue the songs together. And whatever his sort of, you know, style, slight change, even if he plays the same, you know, song and this and that, the EQ and plus his personal entrance into the band affects all the members. And all the members, musicians tend to really instinctively know when there's a new person there. It's an obvious thing, but they know it. And they, and in the music, the language, it also changes.
Do you think the everyday consumer notices that, or you just notice it because you're a musician?
I think a lot of people remembered, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say this one thing. I think a lot of people remember when GNR switched their drummer and the sound was pretty darn radically different.
Yeah, it got different. That's a good example. I was going to say Godsmack is the example, but I think GNR is a better example.
Oh, wait. All right. Write it down. They agreed again.
Holy crap.
There it is, folks.
But no, we might not agree. Do you? Which one do you think was the better drummer?
I've never listened to a freaking song of God's. I don't even like.
Oh, no. Guns N' Roses. Who is the drummer?
I think the name is sacrilegious. I just hate that.
Oh, my gosh. He's talking about Guns N' Roses, dude.
Dipstick. Who is the better Guns N' Roses drummer?
Sacrilegious, he says.
Yeah, no, seriously. Do they spell it with. No, seriously. That's one thing. Do they spell it with a capital G?
Isn't it named after. Aren't they named after an Alice in Chains song?
Oh, is it Gob? Like Gob?
No, God.
Oh, no, screw them, dude.
Alice in Chains song. Back to Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
Did you prefer Adler or Sorum?
If they would have kept going with their... You know what? No, dude. I prefer the original drummer because I like the songs better and all that. But their new sort of sound, if they would have kept going, I could have stood another 3, 4, 5 albums from them in that sort of style. I like them both. But I prefer the original GNR sound. So,
yeah, he had a different swagger.
Yeah, he was. And
Sorum was the better drummer technically.
Yeah,
but
they
gave Adler multiple chances, but he wouldn't clean up his drug addiction, so he did.
Dude, Axl Rose was the biggest one, and I love that band. But Axl Rose he's like a judge and jury and executioner, and all the while he's like freaking throwing temper tantrums because he doesn't get M&Ms. Backstage.
I mean, M&Ms are pretty good.
Well, that is a good excuse, actually.
We talk about Axl an awful lot.
One other thing I had in that same thing we're talking about here is the bands that, like, later on in their careers form other bands, like those super groups.
Okay.
Most of those super groups suck.
Yeah.
It's hard to do, right?
Right. Have you guys seen Hollywood Vampires? Like, any of their clips or anything?
I've seen some clips. Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Oh,
is that new?
It's Alice Cooper, I think Joe Perry, and freaking Johnny Depp.
Yeah, but Johnny Depp started as a musician in Hollywood.
It's not good, man.
The problem is when you have, I think we talked about this, but when you have an actor getting into like the music, like going, there's something messed up about that.
Bacon Brothers?
Yeah. You know, there's something messed up about that. And not Bacon Brothers. Oh, that's true. What's that guy that we mentioned that one time in the podcast, like 2-3 podcasts ago? The guy from Slingshot, the movie,
Billy Bob Thornton?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Sling Blade?
Did we ever? Yeah.
You say Slingshot?
No, it's isn't or Blade
Sling Blade.
Is it Blade Swinger? I don't know. But
fried taters.
I think it's Sling. I can't even say it anymore.
I love that. It makes me nervous.
No. Here's the thing. Well, it's getting dangerous, actually, Doc, because we're sling blading and Billy Bob Thornton has a band.
Right.
Did we not talk about it?
Not that I can recollect.
Dude, he's got a band.
Yeah.
And it's freaking horrible. It's country music. He calls it space, psychedelic space cowboy, this and that. And
stroke.
No, but the problem is that he says that, but they're trying to be clever in the music. You have to see these freaking songs. I think it's the Box Cutters or the Box Tops or some
it's
crap.
It's definitely not the Box Tops. That's already a band.
So it's like, whatever, but Box Cutter, some box something. And the songs he sings and the way he sings it and the themes are just freaking ridiculous, dude. And that's a good example. I mean, you have to hear it. You'll listen and you'll say, oh, they're playing decent. And then you'll hear the lyrics and you'll see, boy, that's super corny. And yet he thinks it's freaking rad. He thinks it's rad.
Billy Bob Band.
I don't know what they're called.
I just wrote down Billy Bob Band. That should be enough to get me where I need to get.
Yeah. So what were you going to say, Ryan, when we, like an hour ago when we interrupted you?
About what?
You were starting a conversation and then we talked about Ted Nugent's clothes. And we ended up with Billy Bob Thornton, but you had something going prior to that.
I think the biker thing, but that was just trying to figure out who Night Ranger was. I don't think there was any more about it than that.
I mean, you missed the sing-along.
Yeah, you did. It was delightful.
I hit the high note, or as high as I can hit.
Yeah, don't try it again.
No, I would never. I can't believe I tried it that time. Well, you know why I did? Because I have the edit this week. I swung big because I knew I had the hammer.
the next episode that's not out yet. Did you guys get a chance to listen to it?
Not all of it.
I don't. Do I have access to said? Where is it?
It's the one with Doc's screwed up audio.
No, it's not. That's the one that's already out. Better not. You said it wasn't.
No, the one I edited, has not gone out.
Right. And you said my audio was fine in that.
See, we're all on the same page here.
What?
No, it's fine, dude. It's fine. I don't look at audio the way.
Oh, you freaking hippie, man. I just can't handle it. If my audio is screwed up, I'm driving to Miami to punch you in the arm.
Well, here's the thing about that. You'd have to spend a lot of gas money unless you take a flight and you have to sit. I don't know.
Yeah, don't underestimate me.
Yeah, don't underestimate the wrath of Doc.
That sounds so incredibly evil and violent. Oh, my goodness. It does. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. You're very conscientious of the audio situation, and I understand that. And I understand that Bales is a musician and this and that. For goodness sakes, drummers, they want like 20 freaking microphones around their – they're ridiculous. But putting all that aside –
dude. I'm not asking to all get matching microphones and get the dB levels perfectly in sync. I'm just saying don't talk into a shoe.
Yeah, we're just like not a tin can.
So he's got the Sure shoe model.
Jesus.
The thing that got me going was it was good right up until then. I moved my desk and I went with that thing that sits on top of the desk and it was crap.
Okay, look. Here's my point in a quick snippet. If you look at old pictures when you're rummaging through and you see an old picture and it's got the lines and cracks and all that, that is good stuff. And I consider a lo-fi situation in this good stuff. Now, if all of you guys had lo-fi and we were all talking through tin cans, then
that might be cool.
No, that I wouldn't like.
Why would he?
You have a malfunction.
Welcome to the Scratched Entertainment Hour.
Actually, you're right.
I was going to see how long you guys would let me do that for, but then I
stopped. Know what that's called?
What?
Officially in music?
No clue.
Bales, do you know what that he just did?
Good job.
Sucking?
It's called scat.
No, that wasn't scat. That was a fake freaking trumpet.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what scat is.
No, it's not.
You gotta go listen to Scat Man or some Korn.
Dude, you guys, Korn. You guys are totally, you guys are totally like freaking like you do not know I'm telling you.
Didn't Steven Tyler scat a little bit in the early days?
Oh yeah. But yeah.
Right? It doesn't have
permanent to be... vacation album.
Yeah.
No, that's humming. Jesus Christ. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's Elevator. Oh,
this is the karaoke episode of Scratch.
Yeah.
Look, this is scat. This is scat. It could be words or it could be imitating trumpets. You could go.
That wasn't what I was doing.
Or you could go.
That's what I was doing right there.
This is the best audio ever.
I was going to make a song out of this.
This is going to be great. I think we should have a DJ.
Listen to the vibrato.
Oh. It's all those poles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ow.
Oh.
That's scat.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that was scat, all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, give a big round of applause for Eloy on the main stage. All right.
Hey, sing us out. Sing us out.
Doc's only contractually obligated to one song per episode.
One song per ep.
He already nailed Zach. You don't want to tarnish that.
No. Yeah, I know to walk away.
Yeah.
If I go to a basketball court at a party and I take one shot and it goes in, I'm going to get another burger. That's it. Yep. We're done here.
Well, whatever. But long story short, drummers are replaceable.
In conclusion.
Unless the drummer sings. That's why Don Henley,
I don't know,
is the best.
They didn't replace Bonham.
I don't like Don Henley.
Bonham?
I mean, they brought his kid in for a revival, right?
Oh, yeah. You're right. Well, yeah, but it's not the same. Plus, they're getting old and stuff.
Yeah.
That's one thing. You know, the energy, like the Rolling Stones sucks, man. You know, Led Zeppelin.
Would you go see GNR now?
Nah, screw that. Seriously, it's like I saw the last concert I saw was Bob Dylan, and I sat like six rows. It was empty. They all came to see the new bands, and Bob Dylan was like the feature. And when all the new bands finished, all the rows got cleared, and I was like, holy crap, freaking awesome.
What new bands were touring with Bob Dylan?
They were heavy-duty cool bands. I forget their names because I wasn't there for them, although I own one of their albums. I forget their names, dude. There was a band that was like I couldn't tell you right now. I'd have to freaking think back and all that. But
When was this?
About 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Wow.
That really narrows it down.
5, 11 years ago.
Niner. Yeah, dude, I don't, you know.
Did you throw a Niner in there?
No, I can't do that. No, it was probably 2013 or 14. So what does that make it? 3, 4 years?
That's 5 slickness.
Really killing me.
Was it like 96 or something? You're just way off.
Well, no, we went up to...
It was either 2013 or 1994.
Either way. It was in the 2000s. But we did go up to Boca Raton or West Palm Beach, thereabouts, and there's this huge thing called the Cruzian Theater or Cruzian Amphitheater, and they've had Rush and just all the big acts and stuff. And yeah, dude, it got empty. I sat in front looking right at Bob Dylan as he freaking wailed with these horrific screeching sounds, and I was digging every part of it because I've read his biographies. I've read the biographies of people documenting his day by day and lyrical, like, dude, I have gone into the whole thing, and I was watching him and I was thinking, okay, now I see and now I know and I'm done with that. So I'm good. But it was awesome.
Did he have a belly to keep the chicks away?
No, he was he was kind of frail and he's older, but no belly. He didn't go Jim Morrison.
It's a good thought though. I like the idea of doing that at some point, growing my beard real big. Well, I've done that already. As a matter of fact, that's where we're at. Mission accomplished.
Cross that off the list.
Yep, cross that right off the list. Big gut, big beard. Uh-huh. Check and check. I'm going to wake up tomorrow with some new goals.
And sometimes you don't have a choice because it's just an age thing as well. The older you get, Bales, well, you know.
I'm carrying some extra LBs I'm trying to get rid of.
But what do you do for that, though, dude?
I eat less. I get on the elliptical, do some free weights, and I quit drinking beer. And then I drop the pounds like you read about.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that sounds like a winning ticket. So you drink water now and stuff?
Yep.
Only?
Two coffees and a water, and I'm doing restricted hour eating.
Oh, he doesn't want to say fast because he don't want to sound like hipster. That's exactly what that was. You didn't want to say fast.
Some people are calling it intermittent fasting, but that's bullshit. It's just regulated hours. So I don't start. I eat from like 10 a.m. to like 7 p.m.
I do that sometimes, though. I'll be like, if I eat too much, or I'll be like, you know what, today I'm just going to chill out. Maybe I'll try to wait until dinner and let everything in my stomach kind of do what it needs to do, give it a break.
Yeah, the problem is I'll wait and I'll eat at like 11 at night and then I'll go immediately to bed. That's just not cool.
No, so you got to wait until dinner. I do the same thing. So I figure I got to wait till dinner to eat the next day because I was a jerk the night before. Plus, I'll wake up. My guts will be like, 11 o'clock is not good to eat that late. Okay.
Some people do a different technique where they eat a little bit all throughout the day. So they're like kind of snacking, but like trying to keep that in water and snacking so that the system is always, you know,
like a rabbit.
Yeah. And I think that there might be something to it, but for me, there's nothing like a freaking steak.
I do that, but then I eat meals too.
Yeah. So you're on the American diet.
No, I like to think I eat a little bit better than the American diet because I know how to cook.
Doc eats some regulated hours, and it's a 24-hour rotation.
Yeah, every other 24 hours.
Rotation just reminds me of rotisserie, and rotisserie reminds me of chicken.
That can make a killer bird. But you don't have to feel bad about eating that.
No, you're right. You're actually right. And with a little bit of, you know, coleslaw and frickin' mac and cheese and some biscuits. And
well, the fixings will kill you.
You're just trying to get me fired up because it's 9:30.
Listen, let me tell you something. All that stuff that sounds really good, you know it's good. I mean,
I knew you were going to do that.
Well, but you know what, though, dude? It's good.
Somewhere you can go and get that stuff.
No, it's good that he's being disciplined, and we have to support that. So from now on, I will never again, for the history of Scratch Podcast, ever again, even after he's reached his goals, mention biscuits and gravy.
Or a rotary bird.
So you tried this like a month ago, too, didn't you, with the no beer thing?
Yeah.
What happened?
Then I drank some beer.
But what kind of beer?
It's all...
Don't say Pabst. Don't say Pabst.
No, it's always the heavy calorie-laden beers like Guinness or Sam Adams.
Oh, you like the stouts?
Yeah.
You're a stout guy.
Yeah, that's IPA, my jam.
Lagers.
I don't like IPA. Yeah. Darker the better for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I like a Heineken. I like a Heine.
Yeah. I don't really like too many green bottle beers. With you.
Like Rolling Rock. Tastes like dish soap.
Yuengling Lager is the only green bottle beer I'll drink.
It's not bad.
I could drink that without thinking about it. Like, it's like, yeah, okay. It's just, you go anywhere in Pennsylvania and they just hand that to you. Here you go.
Oh, dude. Guess, you know what? That's perfect. Tell us about your worst drunken moments.
Ooh, my worst drunken moment?
Yeah, like something embarrassing, ridiculous, drunken moment.
Well, I'm a puker.
Ooh.
Yeah, so...
I'm a puker.
Yeah, but I would be the guy that I'd have too many beers and I'd just go pull the trigger. Like, I'd go throw up and I'd come back and brush my teeth and I'd be fine. But, so I didn't... I stopped drinking, like, beer and hard like that when I was 21, 22. Because I could just see it wasn't for me. Like I told you before, when I get but a certain amount of drunk, I get hyped.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, I didn't care. I don't care for that guy.
But do you have a story that you can relate to?
I have a good one.
Yeah, go ahead then.
When I was 19, the local bigger bar in our town, because we don't have any like big concert venues, but they had this bigger bar that would host some more well-known acts. And Bales probably knows the band Dope.
Yep.
Yeah. They were there, and the lead singer's 21st birthday was that day. And me and all my friends went to this one friend's house, and we were not old enough to drink at the show. So we started drinking before the show. And I ended up passing out at the place and missing like half the concert, and stumbled all the way across town already drunk. Got there, and you know, the mosh pit was up front and everything. And so I was like, oh, this is a good idea. Went up there and started bouncing around. Everything just worked its way, just started sloshing around. And I just barfed all over the back of like three people.
Oh,
but I was like,
like lard ass in the best of times.
You barfed on top of people, dude?
No, on the back, like on the back of their legs.
Oh. Man.
But like, got I was that concert. I was that drunk, that kind of drunk where I didn't even care and I just stayed and kept going. Scratched.
How about Bales? Worst drunken moment, embarrassing or whatever?
Not really embarrassed.
Bales, you have to open up those dark.
I went out once with it was a guitarist in one of the bands I was in. I was probably mid-20s. We went out to a bar. I think it was the TGI Fridays, because he had other friends that were playing in the band that night. And we knew the bartender, or he knew the bartender. So the guy just kept floating us free drinks all night. But it was getting into like Jaeger territory plus beers. So I started getting sloppy, and we started walking around. We're walking past the band. I lose my balance. So I instinctively, you know, try to grab something to not fall. I grabbed the PA speaker and brought it down to the ground.
Oh, so
that was awesome.
Nice.
No way, dude.
Yeah, that was great. And then somehow we ended up like a couple towns away at some of his other friends. And some chick started trying to grind on me and like on the couch, but I was just too far gone. There was nothing I could do about it.
Great night.
There was another time I was in this.
Whoa!
I was in this fake gothic. I was in the, like this faux goth band. We were playing a pagan festival in Kansas, right? So they flew us out. It's an outdoor festival. One of the taglines on the whole itinerary was clothing is optional. And anyone that you would not want to see naked was naked. Like some dude that looked like Gandalf, but he'd really let himself go and got and he got the Jim Morrison belly, was walking around with nothing but a hat and a walking stick. It was bad.
Naked Gandalf.
Yeah. So I was a hired gun, and so was the guitar player, and the leader of the band. She'd bought a bunch of alcohol because she wasn't sure if they were going to have any, you know, because it was like a campground atmosphere. So she had like a couple bottles of crappy strawberry Zinfandel, but then she bought a couple like suitcases of beer, probably crappy beer, probably like Bud or something, and put it in the fridge backstage. So we play our set. There's a tornado warning. We had to get shuffled off. Once the tornado passes, we come finish our set. And this random, but then we start drinking. We're just taking down these beers, taking them down. This random chick comes up to me, asks me if I want to go back to her campsite. So I'm like, whatever. So I'm following her back to her campsite. She has like this tent and a weird camper and a bunch of chairs. And she hands me a handle of vodka, like the plastic bottle, right?
Banker's Club.
Right. So we start chugging out of this. And I've been hanging out with this chick now for 15, 20 minutes. And I just now realize that all she's wearing is a white t-shirt and some panties and nothing else. And she's just been walking around this campground. So I'm like, okay. So we decide to wander back to wherever the band is.
No.
Yeah,
no,
we did.
Wander
back to where the band is, where my guitar buddy is sitting next to the mixing board. He's pretty hammered. So It's like the, it was like an Irish,
look at the screen.
It was like an Irish folk band that was playing. And we decide that it's a good idea for us to start screaming the lyrics to Pearl Jam's Even Flow during their set. And I don't know why. And then the t-shirt girl like sits down to us, and I tell her it'd be a good idea for her to grab the guitar player's balls. So she does.
I like t-shirt girl.
That's all she was wearing. And then it gets to the point where we go through all the beers, and it's only these bottles of crappy strawberry and Zinfandel left. So we drank those too.
Holy smokes, dude.
But so by the time it gets to the point where we need to leave, I'd already packed up my drums, but I hadn't loaded them into the car. We couldn't even walk. The singer had to load all my drums in the car, and then they put us into the back of the second car because we were covered in mud. Like our shoes, you know how your when your boots get so caked with mud, it's like an extra 20 pounds?
Yep.
That's how bad it was. Couldn't talk, couldn't walk, couldn't load or unload my own gear. It was a mess.
Wow, dude.
And then next morning I had to like chip all this mud off my boots. Oh, it was a mess.
What happened to white t-shirt girl?
I don't know. We just left her there.
Sadly, we'll never know what happened. Shout out to
white t-shirt girl. I like how your Kansas music story had to have a tornado in it.
It totally did. Yeah, they made everyone go to this recreation center.
And what is a faux goth band, by the way?
The music was not goth. The music was kind of like a watered down Meatloaf rock type thing.
Dude, Meatloaf is kick ass.
But the visuals they were trying to go for was goth, and they were selling themselves as being into witchcraft.
Weird, man.
Yeah.
Nice.
I can't believe that they'd lie like that.
Yeah, man.
I'm trying to think of my greatest hit, and I don't really have one. I remember, and this was right around the time that I decided that like drinky, not so good for Doc. My best bud is a cat by the name of Jersey John. Believe it or no, whatever.
I like it.
Yeah, his name is Jersey John. And Jersey was up one time, and we were out, and we hit a couple bars. And one thing that would happen to me is I would black out.
Damn, dog.
Not like pass out blackout.
Oh, fun blackout.
Fun blackout. Yeah, where you're, you know, where your brain goes to sleep, but your body gets gets all amped up, like Vigo scratching on the floor there. Yeah, so a couple times that happened, and the last time that it happened, I woke up where I was supposed to at my parents' house, Jersey John on the other bed, and I just remember going, "Hey, Jersey, what time did we leave last night?" And he's like, "Oh, at the appropriate time," and because I was such a winner, I was still living with my parents at the time, and at the same time, my dad comes into the room, opens up the door, goes, "Jeez." Comes in, just opens up the window, and he's like, "By the way, you almost parked your car in the pool last night." I went outside, and I was really close. That was kind of it. I was like, "Okay, not going anywhere anymore without keys. Not going somewhere, you know." So that was the point where I kind of cut it off. But I just remember going outside, and like I was about 2-3 feet from the pool.
So no one filled you in on what Crazy Pants Doc did?
Apparently, I was somewhere using two pool sticks as crutches or a set of walking sticks, and this happened for a while. Several games of pool. Apparently, I was fine. Like, I didn't get out of hand.
Oh, he knows, didn't cause a scene or do anything crazy then.
No, nothing good like that. But, you know, definitely a couple hours that I couldn't. And then it happened from time to time.
But how great of a tie-in would it have been if you woke up beside old Jersey John and white t-shirt girl rolled across?
And a milk jug. Scratched.
I'm going to help you out because his band is called the Box Masters.
Oh, Boxmasters. I like Billy Bob Band better. I'm going to write him a strongly worded email.
You might not want, after you watch, you might just be so, it's so cringeworthy that you might.
The Boxmasters?
I tried to like it because okay, let's see. And
there might be some hope for Dingle and the Berries if people are out touring as the Boxmasters. I mean,
yeah.
That's bad. Not good. I can't imagine it's good.
I'm not even going to listen to it.
No, probably not.
So what's been going on with you, Ryan? You're quiet around the social medias.
Just working a lot of hours.
Anything exciting happen?
No. We didn't share with the Scratched World the lovely man that got evicted out of the apartment building. With the foam big gulps full to the brim with piss.
What? I never read that.
Yeah, it was gross, dude.
Why did you do that? You're so lazy that you can't go to the bathroom.
Drugs.
Yeah, it had to be drugs.
Drugs.
The thing is, you know, I'm super nosy, and he left like all kinds of papers laying around, like past due bills and stuff like that. So, you know, just to get an idea of the guy, he was like $2,000 overdrawn in his bank account. I don't know how you do that. How can you get away with that?
You do it over the weekend.
And like all of his credit cards were past due. I mean, it was just like past due bills laying everywhere. And then the letter from the apartment, company that manages the apartments, he was like almost 6 months behind on rent.
Jeez.
Yeah. So.
But my question is, why leave the electronics when you could sell or pawn them?
Drugs.
Right. Well, he left everything, his clothes.
Yeah, but you could trade them for drugs.
But I'm saying he just cut bait and ran. Like, he got his opportunity. Someone was like, hey, yeah, we're going to leave now. You can. He was like, all right, fine, you know what, I'm out.
But a PlayStation 4 fits under your arm.
Yeah, but you can't. You can take that, but you can't take that and a TV and a toaster and a blender, you know, and whatever. So it's got to, I mean, the guy is, that guy's got to be a freaking.
He's already not making stellar decisions. Like,
so you're telling me he took a handful of stuff that was better than a TV and a PlayStation 4.
Something I say all the time when dealing, Bales, when dealing with drug type peoples.
Did you say better? Like Boston people? You say better.
Better.
No, you said better.
No, I don't speak Bostonian.
You said better.
No. All right. So anyway, when dealing with these drug people, you can't put rational thoughts into irrational heads.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. But
you're like, oh, why wouldn't he be thinking about trading it? And all he was like, swollen head, swollen head, swollen head, swollen head.
Right. When you play back the audio, you'll hear Bale said better. Better.
And drummers are replaceable.
So we took all that stuff out of his apartment because of the eviction. And then we came back. We took it out on a Friday and came back over the weekend. Maybe it was Monday. I don't know what day it was. But he took Q-tips and spelled out F-U on the table in Q-tips.
Oh, he came back?
He came back.
So who gets all those items? Wouldn't it go to the landlord so they could try to get their money back by selling it? Or do they just let you take it?
What items?
Oh, I see.
No, we were told we could take it. They didn't see any value out of it.
That's more than it's worth. You just cut your loss.
Right.
Unless
there's a briefcase full of money in the middle. That'll be a different story, right?
What briefcase?
But dude, we tore out his tub and toilet today. Oh, I just don't understand how people live like that. I wish I'd have took a picture of the toilet and sent it to you, but you might not have been able to eat the rest of the day.
No, was it like
drugs?
Like Train Spotting toilet?
I'm not sure what that means.
Train Spotting was the movie about heroin.
Was it a fight?
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
So that was a dead end.
Yeah.
No, it was just like the toilet had never been cleaned. I'm pretty sure he just shaved his pubes, put them in his hand, and threw them around the room like glitter.
Ooh. Maybe he like laid the animated pube angel. Just.
Ooh.
I'm gonna write that down.
But I wore a face mask and rubber gloves and freaking
as you should.
We put paper towels down on the floor so I could unhook those supply lines to the sink, and it was just it was just nasty. But the first day we did it, I've never smelled anything that smelled like piss so bad in my life. Like it was, I had a mask on and stuff, and had my shirt up over the mask.
You never been on a farm, huh?
Oh, but I don't know. Is there a difference between human piss and animal piss?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we have a cat and it
animal of origin.
Smells like ammonia.
Yeah.
I just can't describe what this smelled like. It was awful. I remember my dad dumped it down the sink.
Oh,
the kitchen sink. Because that's what that's like in the vicinity where they were all sitting.
Why the toilet didn't work? You'd already ripped it out.
No, he just wanted to get rid of them. And I guess first thought was, "Hey, there's a hole. Dump it in it." Oh, it's nasty. But we got a. I haven't torn out the sink and the countertop yet, so there's a couple of T-shirts shoved down in the drain to keep the smoke from coming back up.
But now, when you take it out, the pee trap's gonna be all full of it.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be awful.
I let that water buck for a minute. I'd let her run for 5 minutes before I went in there. I'd rather deal with it wet and know that it was water that I just pumped in there than whatever mystery pee water backwash you have going on in there. Okay. I'd flush it.
Have you guys ever seen there's a bunch of YouTube videos and series on YouTube of this, but there's one where people go and investigate hotels and motels. And they bring black lights. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
And they grade the places that they go from dirtiest to, you know, the best ones. And no matter where they go, they always find contamination. And
like somebody completely missed the milk jug a whole bunch.
No, dude, somebody, yeah. That's probably what your buddy was saving his milk jug for. He was just going to go and spray it all over random hotel rooms.
Is that another glitter situation? Just throw it around?
Just
now, that would be a mess.
That's disgusting. I'm sorry.
Take the pube angel?
Like the freaking, the jizz fairy.
I'm not writing that down. Sorry, you don't make the paper. That's lazy.
Well, in any event, the sheets, they would take the black light and they would run it across the bed. And dude,
you could see him from space. Just glowing whiteness.
Dude. And people get into those sheets and it's just horrible, dude.
I lived on the road for a while, telco. So probably any week I'd be three hotel stays per week.
So you've slept with hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh yeah. For sure. In the blacklight situations. Mm-hmm. In the puddles of DNA. Now, what I used to do is I'd get in and I'd take the my move was I would take the remote control and I'd throw it on the bed and then I would pull all the covers and everything off the bed into a big ball.
So far, the way you're setting this up, the way you're setting this up is it's starting on a bad foot, but continue, please.
No, I take the remote and I throw it on the bed, and then I just trip the entire bed into a ball on the floor, and then I had my own pillow and my own sleeping bag that I would sleep on top of the bed minus the bedding.
Mm.
And that was my move, and I felt.
Why'd you throw the remote on the bed?
Because
dirtiest thing in the room.
Oh, okay.
And like, yeah. I there were techs that I had worked with at the time that were getting real sick, like real sick, out on the road, staying in hotel rooms and stuff, and not taking care of them, and smoking too many cigarettes and drinking too many coffees, and so I was kind of like, I tried to like eat an orange, and not be around as many germs as I could, and every once in a while I tried to eat the salad.
Yeah, because, but once the chowder is dry, it's done. There's nothing. It's just all that's left is a powdery residue of sorts infused.
Either way, still dirty.
Powder. Yeah, but all it is it's like it's the same as putting your hand on the ground.
I wasn't really worried about chowder as much as germs and bed bugs and shit.
I'd be more worried about chowder. I don't know why.
That scares me to death. Bed bugs.
Well, how about the door handles? Those are dirty, too.
I did my best not to touch them.
But how the hell you get into the room, dude?
I wasn't sleeping on top of the doorknob. Like, I touched the doorknob, fine. I go wash my hands. But at no point in the night was I rubbing my face on the doorknob. Like, oh, yeah, I was just sleeping a little bit.
Wait a second. Hold on. Let me ask you this, then. How about the little towel? You know how they give you the little towels and the bigger towels? Those all, for all you know, they look white as hell. But for all you know, you put a
black. Yeah, but you see those. You see those washed. The towels get washed.
So does the bed, but that stuff remains.
You've never in your life seen the bedspread get washed.
They change it. Oh, so you're saying it's the same one?
I'm saying that the bedspread does not get washed. The sheets get washed.
Okay, look, I went, so I drove cross country and I stopped in some little town, I don't remember, somewhere in Texas, but like Western Texas. And I stopped and I was in my mid 20s and I go into the motel in the middle of nowhere, dude. It's freaking desert. As far away as you can think of from Miami, I mean, it's just a different environment. Purchase the hotel room, motel room, get in the covers, and fall asleep. I've got a long journey ahead of me. I'm falling asleep, and I'm starting to get itchy, dude. My foot, my other foot, my legs, my arm, I start scratching. I'm getting freaking itchy, dude. And I'm like, at some point, this is, like, you can have a subtle itch because you rub up against the clock, whatever. But this was like an attack. And I was like, these are bed bugs, man. I get the hell off of that. And I'm scratching. And I freaking, you know, grab the pillow and I'm freaking trying to get it. And nothing, dude. It just, that place wasn't. So I go to the teller person or whatever. And I say, listen, I need another room because the bed, I don't know what it is, but I'm itchy as heck. And I say, okay, no problem. They give me another bed. So I go to the other room. I get in, you know, after the whole transition, get in. And I start feeling an itch on my leg. I'm feeling an itch on the other leg. Dude, same thing. The whole place was freaking infested, dude. What a nightmare night.
So you were like the Goldilocks of motels.
It was horrible. And there was nowhere to go.
You could sleep in your car.
Yeah. But when you're sitting for hours and hours and hours, your butt, you end up moving one cheek to the other as you're driving, so one cheek can rest, and then you move to the other cheek because you're driving. I'm talking about cross country. I'm not talking about from here, like 3 hour drive, or I'm talking about my ass was getting numb, dude. And I didn't want to stop in the emptiness of my ass was numb. So I'd move one cheek to the other to unnumb the other. And yet the other, and then I'd go at some point you need to freaking rest. And there's nothing as good as having a freaking good shower and resting in a comfortable bed. Unfortunately, that was not the case, but yeah.
You just need to stop moving for a while.
Yeah. It was crazy.
I put in long days like that when I was working for that same company.
Yeah.
Alternating cheeks.
My move was I would get a towel, usually one I would steal from a hotel room full of skeeve.
See?
Now, and I would sit on that, and then you could, like, besides your left to right technique, I used to go front to back.
Oh, okay.
I would sit on my hamstrings for a while.
Because it hurts, man, after a while sitting that one position.
I'll tell you what, though, I had like a brand new, my company truck. A lot of the guys had like full size vans. And because I was doing a lot of running, they got me like a brandy new Chrysler Town and Country. Fully loaded, though, cruise control. It was like driving a Cadillac.
I was in a Dodge.
Yeah.
Dodge what? A Dodge Dart?
It was a Dodge
Intrepid.
No, I can't even remember the
Diplomat.
No, it was a stick shift. It was a sports type car or midsize.
Stratus?
No. When you name it, I'll remember. Eagle. An Eagle. It was the same. Either it was the same model as an Eagle. Is Eagle Talon?
Is that a Dodge?
There's one that's the equivalent of. I'm trying to think and remember what it was. I can't freaking remember. What's an Eagle Talon?
An Eagle Talon?
No, what's the freaking. Manufacturer.
Doc. Eagle.
It was a Stealth?
No, dude, you guys are...
It wasn't a Dodge Stealth?
No, it was not a Stealth.
Okay.
I'm trying... If you say the name, I'll remember it, but...
Duster?
No, that's way too cool.
No, it wasn't a cool car.
Was it Avenger?
An Avenger? No.
What year are we talking about here?
Well, you know, maybe like 13 or 7 years ago.
Was it a Plymouth? Was it a Plymouth, Eloy?
It was not a Plymouth. Hold on, dude.
Was it a Plymouth?
Was it a Dodge Neon?
No, because that's...
Wait till you see how far off he ends up being on this.
It's
one.
Like a...
I'm pretty sure he's way off the mark here.
It's like a Pontiac freaking Sunfire or something.
Wasn't it the other... It was a Mitsubishi Eclipse. Isn't it the other end of that?
It was a Dodge Talon.
It wasn't a talon. It was the eagle was the talon.
Nope, right. It was a Dodge Talon. That's exactly what it is.
What's a Dodge Talon?
See, I want to picture him cross-country in like an AMC Gremlin or something.
It was a Talon.
In a Studebaker, moving right along, like the Muppets, moving right along.
Yeah, you know, what can you do? But
I don't remember the Dodge being called the Talon.
Yeah, I typed in Dodge Talon, and it says Eagle Talon. And it says the Eagle Talon.
I typed it in, but it says this.
It says, well, heck, I saw Dodge somewhere.
It looks like it's trying to be a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Yeah.
1998 here it says, first generation. But there's the equivalent of it with Dodge. Dodge Avenger Coupe, Mitsubishi Eclipse, Chrysler Sturbring. You know what? Used Eagle Talons for sale. I'm sorry. I don't know if it was that or not. It looks like that's the one.
It's truly funny. This is compelling audio. Could you tell the listeners at home what the Kelly Blue Book is of that car right now?
Well, I mean,
all right,
you guys kept pressing me.
All right, let me finish this pretzel, and then I want to tell a story.
Scratched.
I'm guessing by your underwhelming reaction that it's just not as funny. That's cool to you. No.
Not as funny, but it makes me wonder how often that happens. Like, I mean, like with more creative or artsy accounts.
I'm gonna send you a picture of this skull stash box I just made.
Yeah.
Google skull chair.
Right, you guys should see these wicked mallets I make.
Yeah, no problem, man, because I just made a snare drum. You should check it out. I made it out of those concrete forms. Oh man. And oh, by the way, you know how many views I got on that?
Probably sounds like crap.
they were just relentless on you with those things, weren't they?
They always are, yeah.
I just had a great idea, guys.
What?
We should use the scratched YouTube account and start trolling ourselves and see if we can get conversations going. Or just show up and be like, this is the worst podcast ever. We should go Ted's Woodworking on podcast.
What if it backfired though and people just started agreeing with it?
No, wait a second.
Yeah. I'm glad someone finally said it. This guy sucks.
Ted's Woodworking now isn't it now Wood Pricks or Wood Picks or with Wood
something new every week, I think.
Wood Pree?
Is it Wood Pree?
I mean, that's how I learned how to pronounce P-R-I-X.
Okay, because I call them wood pricks.
Like the grand.
That's funny. That's funny though, because when I read it, I say wood pricks in my head too. Wood. Now that you mention it, though, it makes sense. As wood.
They actually commented on a scratch video.
No.
Yeah, they did.
Wood pricks did.
Yeah.
What did they say?
They commented on one of the old Maker Wanted videos, saying, "Hey, you can find the plans of this design at." Blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, I know. We were poking. We had all that because we were talking a lot of smack on that for a while.
You know what they do, these companies? I'm sure. I'm not sure. I'm sure they do, if I had to bet. They hire a bunch of third world country people in like a facility or an office or some sort of freaking. They have a bunch of crappy computers and they all type in wood prick. And that's all they. And they go freaking hog wild so that they can propagate that name, and some jerkwad is going to see it and say, I want myself some free plans to make a freaking table, and then they'll go and take and so that's the story. But
I thought it was just a bunch of people that get their own personalized affiliate link with Woodpree, and then anyone that goes to the site and buys plans through their link gets a kickback.
Isn't
that how the Ted Woodworking thing was
used? I didn't investigate it, but that sounds reasonable to me. That sounds more reasonable than my factory scenario, by the way.
I don't know. I like that it's all one guy named Ted. It's just, it's all we have to do is get beyond that one guy. And
with his wife there working in their home.
I wonder how many suckers actually buy this stuff, though.
Well, it's not about suckers, dude. They have stolen everybody's plans. According to them, they have the plans to make a freaking concrete snare drum. They have the plans to make a Batman shelf.
Well, first of all, they don't have 16,000 plans in there, and they have a lot of duplicates.
Well, they didn't say that.
Does it cost money?
Yeah.
What's the going price for this?
I don't remember.
Dude.
Steve Ramsey from Mere Mortals did a video on it where he bought the plans. And then he complained.
Check us out.
They complained to the site and they refunded him.
Oh, because his plans were in there?
There's a $20 discount for a limited time.
He might have found some of his plans in there. I'm not sure.
The problem is with a lot of these plans is that they don't go and freaking... Are you going to go and copyright or whatever you call it, trademark or like whatever, a plan? I'm sure the people do. That's why they have, you know, all these... But it's like a lot of these woodworkers and people, you know, they don't. So they steal, you know?
$47.
Yeah,
it's a steal.
It's not worth it.
No, dude.
16,000 sets of plans?
It's supposed to be 16,000.
I've never built anything from plans like that. That I've
just done. For just $7.95 more, you can get a log home plan book.
What?
With 120 log home plans.
Whoa.
Here's one for you, Bales. You make for making and using jigs.
Can't you just build a frickin', if you need to build a table, I'm sure you can get by without the you can.
Some people need step by step instructions to get started. Some people.
I'm fine with that. It's just
people just can't build the stuff in their head.
Who thinks that they're gonna like use 16,000 sets of plans?
They're not going to. But hey, it's a bargain. Why buy five?
Oh, no, I get the chop shop mentality.
Why buy five Eloy Escajedo plans when I can get 16,000 for the same price?
That's depressing. But
look at him underselling you.
Go over to Waylight Creations, buy a scroll pattern for $6.99. Screw that.
You'd pay $6.99?
I don't know what you sell them for.
I need to up my prices.
I was checking out Eloy's store the other day, and he sells some products for like $60.
Oh, yeah.
I can't pull that kind of bank.
Yeah, some of his like stash boxes and his limited edition skull boxes.
I sell them for $80, actually.
Nice.
Wait, do you see what the Flying Nine store looks like?
And by
high end retail. My prices would be, I'd never move anything. It'd just be a place to look at it.
It'd be like Restoration Hardware where a door hinge is $70.
Yep, look at this.
That's not necessarily true, dude. There's people out there. See, there's people out there that are looking for the item that you. Your job is to put it out there and try to advertise it out, but there's people that want the item that you create. Look, I was doing a flea market. No, it was a farmer's market thing in Doral years ago. My girlfriend at the time and I, we went and set up, and I brought chairs and brought freaking all sorts of stuff. And I had brought a little freaking 1x3 1x3/4 inch little freaking board that I had scroll sawed a tree, like the tree of life type deal, and emptied it out. So it was like, you know, just that surrounded by a block of wood. And I said, we'll leave that there. I don't want that. And she said, no, let's take it. It's so cute. We got to take it. No, but it's crap. No, let's take it. Let's take it. I said, okay, we take it, but please don't sell that crap to anybody. Like an idiot. Somebody wants to. So we take it. She puts it on the table. I go to the bathroom. I told her I got to go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom. When I come back, she says, you know what? A young girl came over and she was willing to pay for it. I said, no, sorry, this is not for sale. And I told her, what? He should have sold it to her. You know, the thing is, you know, when you're there, you want to sell everything.
Yeah.
But yeah. So people will buy just about anything if they're looking for it.
I've bought some hinges and knobs and stuff on there that were pretty nice when I got them.
Bet you
did. What?
Like jewelry box hinges and knobs.
Oh,
mini,
yeah.
Mini knobs for Bales.
It's nice stuff. It's just expensive.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool ideas out there. The main problem is connecting the prospective purchaser with the item. But there's people that, dude, if people will buy freaking like socks from a garage sale, okay.
What was that?
Yeah. You heard that?
Yeah.
My kids.
I was going to ask if you had a bird. I was like, someone has a bird?
No, they're playing that stupid Fortnite video game and they yell at people they're playing with like they're freaking wild animals.
They are wild animals.
Yes, they are.
I want to touch on just see what you guys think. I did send a link and stuff, but so I came across the other day a channel on YouTube that is fascinating. It's kind of not... in the vein, but yeah, in the vein of like Discovery and sort of that Doc was talking about with the Funkland, but without the bells and whistles. It just started raining outside big time. And so it's like an Indian from India. And what are you cracking up about?
Who's cracking up?
What are you cracking up about, Bitters?
You just did. It was an Indian from India.
Well, yeah, you got
just funny to me.
Could have been a feather Indian.
Right?
Dude, it sounds torrential outside right now. But anyways, so the
And freaking Eloy's ADD.
No, because like imagine our rain is not like your rain in your areas. Our rain is like
tell us a story about Surrender for Christ's sakes.
Jesus. Surrender?
Yeah. It's an Indian name.
Oh. So the guy does research on ancient like technology and knowledge and this and that, and he came across an ancient abandoned site, and there was this huge like chunk of rock, and he says that's a lathe, and he proceeded to explain why it's a lathe. And in fact, looking at it, he explains that these pieces, there was a rod that went through here, and there would be like a vertical lathe type deal. You have a piece that sticks down and you turn the actual piece, and that goes in cutting. And it was like,
I'd never heard of a vertical lathe before, but it made total sense.
Yeah.
Because trying to spin that much weight on a modern day lathe
is impossible.
Yeah. But this guy was like, it was like a turntable.
It's exactly that. Yeah. It was
brilliant.
So
but my question was, what was he saying was the tool? Because the biggest argument for people in antiquity is they try to say that they were using copper tools.
But that's all they had were bronze.
Right. So how is that going to cut through the rocks that he was showing?
Well, isn't bronze stronger than the rock?
I don't know. I'm cutting some bronze out of my bathroom. I'll go try it.
Well, no, well, wait a second. They did have diamonds forever.
Okay, Jared.
What?
That's a diamond place. Diamonds for us.
That's awful.
Jesus. You need a timeout for that one, but it made me laugh.
Yeah, I get it. It's just if I had a nickel for every you went to Jared.
So you're right. You need even if you had a rock that was harder than the rock you're trying to mill, it would work. You might be going at it for a long time, but it would work.
Yeah, eventually, because if you have enough material with the tool you're using,
right,
you'll just spend it as you go, you know, but eventually it'll wear it down. But still,
even if you're cutting limestone with granite, that would work, right?
Dude, I don't know. I think that granite is way strong. Cutting limestone with granite?
Yeah, because limestone's soft.
No, so you mean cutting...
Using granite as the tool.
Then yes, it would work.
Yeah.
But this machine is, or what we think that it is, it was very compelling, and it's not the only one, dude. I only shared one with you. There's another one where he goes into this ancient Indian, like from India, temple, and they have a pillar with a, dude, I'm going to say it and you're going to flip, but they have a freaking guy carved into the pillar riding a freaking bicycle with spokes and a seat and everything. And bikes weren't invented, but just, you know, in the past 100 or so years, according to what we know. I'm telling you, there's things that we've just rediscovered. One thing is for sure, or not for sure, but I would guess they didn't have personal computers in their homes back in the day, but they sure had some technologies that were lost at some point along the way, is my contention.
I agree.
Yeah.
Where are all these tools, though? Are they actually lost or buried or decayed, or did people find them and they're hiding them?
Some people say that okay, so look, I believe
that the contractors took them home.
All of them?
Yes. Like, I don't know. I've worked on many construction sites, and at the end of them, we just don't throw our tools on the ground around and leave. And then people live there for hundreds and hundreds of years, and the tools are still there.
It could be.
I never got why that was a thing. It's like, where are the tools? It's like, I don't know. They took them home, put them back in their van.
It could be in Vatican City, because the Jesuits and all these people are known for confiscating or grabbing documentation, treasures, and hoarding them in the safes and vaults underneath Vatican City. So there's also conspiracies that they do that. They hoard stuff of antiquity. So like a lot of the books that have been lost to history, some people say that it's in there. Because the keeping of knowledge away from others, from the masses, is something people say that these huge institutions do to keep people with blinders on. But there's a lot of weird, like there was another one. There's a place in Texas where they, like 100 years ago, they found a freaking hammer inside rock that was like melded into the rock, around the rock, folded into it. And it was a freaking hammer made of iron. And it wasn't supposed to be there. Because of the actual scientific layering, it's not supposed to be there. So the people that investigate, like the naysayers, have said, well, what happened here was that maybe it dropped between two boulders, and then through, you know, sedimentation and rain and this and that, the minerals started to cover it and completely become solidified. As it's called the London, look it up, the London Hammer. As in London.
I'll look it up later.
Yeah. So just what do you guys think of all that?
I wouldn't expect them to find a bunch of hand tools because like Doc said, they would take them home. But like if I snap a drill bit on the job site, I'm not taking a snap drill bit home. One, the piece is going to get lost. So you'd expect to find maybe some of those core bits. Or if they built a huge mill on site, they're not going to move it. Or if they wore out one of the wheels. And then some tools are just going to get lost. Like 100 years from now, someone around here is probably going to find 7 of my tape measures.
But you won't find them.
No.
I'm just saying between now and then, someone's going to see half of your tape measure, pick it up and be like, I can use this tape measure. Well, you know how it is right away. I mean, I buy broken tools all the time and try to do new stuff with them. I'm sure people are like, oh, look at that. That was for beating the rock with another rock. I'll use that rock for something else. And then there was the whole antiquity phase where it was like, this rock was one of the rocks that we used to mill the other rocks. I put drinks on it now.
Oh, so they're all at Keith Deason's house.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just that's what we do with stuff. It's like this woodworking bench is now a table. It's $11 billion.
This old push cart was in a factory. Now it's my coffee table.
Yeah. Do you think that happened back then? Maybe there was like a quick antiquity.
I totally believe that you're right. You know, I mean, they reuse stuff. You know, there was a documentary on history and like the people in medieval times. There was all this knowledge in during Roman times prior. Aqueducts and all sorts of like warm pools, right, where people would jump in and stuff and all these things.
Peeing in the pool.
They had don't pee in the pool signs. And then the issue happened where Rome fell and you had all these, you know, like in the English and all over the place, they saw the ruins of years past and they could see that the past had more knowledge of how to build society than their medieval current age. And so people could see that there was lost knowledge all around them. And I'm sure that that's the case, you know, for us and even further back in time. I mean, there's no way, dude, these pyramids and these freaking, there's no way, dude. They had, could you imagine erecting those freaking things and cutting them? How the heck do you cut a perfect freaking rectangle block that weighs like 20 cars or more and lift it up and, you know, and just, and the time frame to do it in and the precision to do it in, it's just like I've said, we can't even barely just nail two boards together, dude.
Well, you know? Some of us can.
Barely.
I don't know where to go with that.
Well, you did you see the video though or no?
I did watch the video. I agree that it was a lathe.
You think it was a lathe? I don't know. Yeah. I believe it's a lathe. I could. it could maybe not be a lathe, but I think strongly that it's a lathe.
How did they turn the workpiece on the bottom?
It had to be like a turntable thing, like you're saying.
Yeah, but they didn't. He didn't show a mechanism. Yeah, what turned it? Was it like a treadle style?
Probably a donkey.
Hmm.
It could be, for all we know. Do they have donkeys in India?
I don't know. Goats. People walking in a circle. You see how it is? I was imagining it's on one of those circular plates with the sticks sticking off of it, and you guys just walked around
it. You can't, because it had two vertical uprights on each side, and then the horizontal bar, like a barbecue spit.
No, they could. The donkey could reach that one pole, jump over on the inside, and then
they had an underground pit, and that's where they put the donkey.
Maybe. No, they could have had a axle pulley system.
They could have had a pulley system. How about that?
Yeah, they could have used a pulley.
Did they have pulleys back then?
Why not?
If they
don't think people could figure that out.
Well, I don't know what year this. I don't know what time frame this guy was saying this.
I don't either, but I always think of the things. When I hear these stories, I think a couple of things. One is, we don't give primitive man enough credit.
Yes.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, that's like, oh, he couldn't have figured that out. And two is the thing that is the tools. They're like, oh, what are the tools? I was like, why would the tools be there? Why would you think that things are just going to be laying around? You don't think someone else took that later? Or like people were like, oh, I could sell this. Or, you know, it's just going to lay there forever and ever.
You know,
don't you ever have an original, what you think is an original thought? And then you like start researching to try to find out if it's possible or whatever. And then you find out, well, this has already been done.
Yeah, all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
So, like, wouldn't that apply the same way?
Yeah.
I never have thought this is a completely original idea. Never been, because I'm quite aware that the past, millions upon millions and millions of people have thought, I mean, it just there's no way. We can tweak it. We can tweak something to appear slightly this and that, but there's no way. There's nothing that you could do. I mean,
I disagree with that.
Well,
don't think there's nothing, there's not going to be anything new ever again.
No. I'm saying one person. So like take Bill Gates. He stole information from another company to create what occurred now. So in a vacuum, you know, just him coming up with one thing, did we just lose?
Where did he go?
He probably lost internet for a moment. My point is not that we can't invent as a team effort, new technologies and new things. Of course we can. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that one person coming up with one idea, I don't know. Give me an example of a completely brand new idea.
The internet's not very old.
Yeah, but right? one guy invent. So like things are invented all the time,
but it was still a new idea recently.
Dangles.
You're right.
Well, dangles, yeah, but still it's the basis of, I'm talking about something so completely different.
Who's the first guy that came up with the condom? Was that an accident? He was just having sex with a sheep.
You know what I was thinking?
Something ripped out. He's like, you know what? Hey, this could be a standalone product.
I was thinking the same thing. Well, it didn't start off as a condom. It started off as selling
recreation.
It took a team effort to actually.
So does the sheep get credited with part of that?
Oh, he gets credit, all right. So yeah, okay. New things can be invented. I'm just saying that the likelihood, like pick up a guitar or on the drums, fails. Is there one drum beat that you can invent that's never been invented?
Probably not.
That's it.
It'd be pieces and parts of existing drum beats.
Right, and add.
So I could just make new combinations.
Permutations. That's what I'm saying. Do you disagree with that?
No,
Ryan.
Disagree with what?
With what we just said.
With what you're saying about the drums. No, I don't disagree with that. But you're saying, I was asking, you're saying nothing new could ever be invented. It's always going to be a spin on something that already existed.
Yeah. How's this? The likelihood of, and I won't even use you, of me inventing a completely like alien technology. And it doesn't have to be scientific. It could be just a new way of writing, a new way of poetry. It could be a woodworking technique.
So, okay, I can see where you're going. So you're saying, like, the invention of the automobile is just a spin on the horse-drawn carriage.
The invention of the automobile, you know, they had steam power, they had the locomotive or the trains, and then moving can, how can we do this? Combustion.
What if someone comes up with a different idea for propulsion?
Right, then that would be but it usually works in a team, a group of people, no?
Well, that's not my point. I'm just talking about the new thing. I don't care how many people were there to make it.
What about bladeless fans like Dyson? You ever seen one of those before?
Yeah, but they have blades inside.
Airfoil.
Whatever, but, you know, well, look, it's a new, isn't it? Okay, so it's a new dressing. It's a new mixing of different technologies and pre-existing inventions to create a new thing, but they didn't create it out of a, you don't wake up and create a brand new, brand spanking new, that something never occurred. Show me one example amongst our friends.
Amongst our friends?
Our maker community, let's say, as a close example. Like, let's narrow it down. Somebody that's, you can't say it about anybody.
Shouldn't we talk about people that are, like, successful? No offense to anybody out there, but, like, you know, at this point, if they had come up with an original idea, they wouldn't be swimming in our fishbowl anymore. They would have been like, peace out. I'm going to ride my brand new product to the top.
The internet, wasn't that a government thing for writing and communicating and whatnot?
But regardless, it was something new, right? Or are we just going to look at it as it was just another spin on communication?
What I'm saying, it is a spin on communication, but what I'm saying is that everything seems to build upon its, you know what, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything seems to compound on itself and create a new thing, be it the internet or, like, you can't, like, a drum is always going to be a drum. You can add new materials, and then, but the idea is still, so it's your
like quickcrete?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I agree with what you're saying, that things can be invented new, but I think that they're amalgamation of all these other things and sort of tweaking and sort of, you know.
But like how when our parents were maybe younger, like, well, what would be a good example? Like, you know, where you hit that time in your life where you're like, it can't get any more technologically advanced than this. I wonder when that was for them. Like, because in my
locks and windows.
Right. But like now I'm just like, what else could possibly be invented? Right. But in 50 years from now, we're going to be like, well, you two might be dead, but
I still want some of those flying cars.
Right.
Or those magnetic cars like was in the Minority Report movie.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice.
Like, it's hard to tell what'll be around in 30, 40, 50 years.
Or those, the three shell system that from that Sylvester Stallone movie.
Demolition Man.
I'm still not sure how the hell those things are supposed to work.
Demolition Man. You don't know how the three shells work.
No, they don't tell you.
I know. That's what they keep saying, though.
I'd like those screens, though, that you just go like this. And they pop up with, and you can move it in midair, and you can watch. You know, you can have Doc over here in one screen, and you can have a GIMP situation going on over here, and you can have history lessons here, and, you know, that would be cool, dude, where you can just swipe with your hand.
That's probably not that far off. They already have touch screens and smart TVs. That's just a matter of time. If they don't already have it, right. they're just waiting to release it. They got other things in the pipeline that they want to sell to you first.
GIMP situations.
So tell us about your worst poop moment.
Jeez. No.
Well, that's the end of this episode, guys.
Yep. There it is. We just hit the end of the internet, kids.
Nope. Gonna stop it for real. Scratch.